You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about All Stars Season 7, All Winners, Baby, Episode 5. And never fear, Mother is back to take care. Beth and Amon did a fabulous job, of course, while I was away. It was enjoyable listening to them, just being like, wow, I don't have to do anything. But don't worry, I'm back. I'm here, and we're going to go through everything from this super fun episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. So first, let me welcome in the two people who held the ship down while I was away. First, a man who is still not in the Big Brother house, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
Yep, still here.
Still here. This isn't enough proof. He's still here.
It is June 12th, 11:12 a.m.
Yep.
And I am still here.
Do we need to get you a newspaper with a date on it that you could like hold up?
I mean, honestly, here's the thing. Like people all week long were like, I'm still not buying it. I feel like this was pre-recorded. Mm-hmm. So I just leaned into that. And I was like, I love this pre-recorded video that we put together. It was really
great. Of course,
great.
None of these pens are working, which only makes it. There we go. All right.
We could have just charged you to write this with a future date, though.
11:12 a.m. June 12th.
Okay.
You can't see. There you go.
There
June
we go. Okay.
12th, 11:12 a.m.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And I enjoy Drag Race, which I watched on June 10th at whatever time, 3 a.m. in the morning. It was so fun. I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to talk about the episode today on June 12th. 11:12 a.m. And it probably will get released tomorrow, June 13th, at whatever time that mm-hmm. Scott St. Pierre puts it out.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part about this is clearly, like, if Amon and all of us were pre-recording all of this,
mm-hmm.
that means we would have had to have early access to all of the Drag Race content.
Right, too. Right. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Look, yeah,
they pull out all Screeners. The stops for us.
It's an elaborate ruse, people. That's all this is. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you heard her voice. It's the wonderful Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I know that this was last week's episode, but in my head, mm-hmm. every time I've like stubbed a toe or done something, you know, a little clumsy this week, in my head, I could just hear Jinx going, Jesus Christ, like when her ear falls off. So that's just been my general mood this week. But this episode was a lot of fun. And I can't wait to break it down.
Okay. Fabulous. Yes. We have a lot to talk about. We get a challenge that we've never had before, which was very exciting. You know, I think even though you could say, oh, maybe there's elements of some of the other challenges in here, this really did feel like genuinely unique. And so mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear both of your thoughts on everything. I just want to sort of close up a few things from last week because one, I was not here. I echo a lot of the feelings of Beth and Amon from their conversation from last week. The one thing that was interesting was, so both there was the decision last week to block Monet from the mm-hmm. Viv. But then in this episode, we get a little bit of a follow-up to that where the Viv actually says, well, I would have blocked Jinx if she was available to be blocked. Mm-hmm. And I thought, one, I totally understand that decision, but please, dear God, don't say that out loud.
There's so much of this kumbaya with this tribe of like queens that are who've come on here and have just been like, you know what, we're just going to be very transparent and supportive of each other because there's no threat of going home. Keep some of that to yourself. Like even Monet, who's trying to be strategic, is still making like rookie social strategy mistakes. The Viv, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, Vivian, girl, stifle that. Let's just keep that to ourselves.
Right. I mean, especially because we know the outcome of this episode where Jinx wins and blocks Viv. So it's like, are we surprised here, Mon?
No, not at all. I'm shocked that she went ahead and was so honest this time around. But I guess. Like, I mean, I don't know what they do over there in the UK, but that's not how we handle things over here. You want to be as covert as possible, but just let the cat out of the bag.
And the reality shows are a little bit different. So, you know, more public voting, all that kind of stuff. So maybe I can excuse the mistake. But yeah, it was very surprising. And then, of course, you know, to see a payoff here was an extra like added. Oh, of course, you shouldn't have done that because we got to see immediately the ramifications of that decision.
Yeah.
I had thought that she would get blocked if Monet won. And had she not said anything, I don't know if Jinx would have blocked her or not. Because I do think that the Vivian is starting to warm up and we're starting to really see her. And we'll get into this, but I also felt like she was a serious contender to win this week. And I really think that Jinx sees a lot of what she brings to the table in the Vivian and vice versa. And so there is this sense of, I think quite a few people, she would have won the previous week. She would have gotten that star, like probably would have blocked her anyway. So I don't know if it really mattered that Jinx was the one, but still, I don't know.
A little bold budding strategy. Rivalry. Bold strategy, Cotton. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit of a budding rivalry between the two. I think we're seeing both of them recognize each other's strengths and that infringes upon one another. So, yeah, we'll see how this goes throughout the rest of the season. But let's get into the main challenge this week. Let's talk about it all. So this week, the queens were tasked with inspiring the children with their charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent to write and deliver an uplifting commencement speech. And knowing that Nikki Glaser and Carson are going to be the ones to workshop it, which I think also helps to set the tone that, oh, this is supposed to be funny, right? Yeah. Because you're not going to bring in Nikki Glaser if it's not supposed to be funny.
Yeah, you just bring in Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Zing, 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 Beth, zing.
Come for the insider trading. Okay, so Aman, what did you think overall about this challenge? This is something we've never seen before.
I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. I'm always a big fan of self-improvement things. I like to consider myself a bit of a budding self-improvement connoisseur. Okay, so graduation speeches, books, words of advice, counsel with friends, that kind of stuff is kind of like my shtick. So I was very pleased to see that they were going to give us the drag race representation of that. And I felt like it was an interesting way to bridge, you know, a little bit of some good, healthy advice and talking about the queens, giving them the chance to talk about their past, but also also, you know, always inject that humor into it. Kind of reminded me of All Star 6 when they did the, you know, the whole round table talk, and each panel had a topic that they had to discuss, but they also had to keep it light and keep it funny. But this one was a little bit more of an individualistic approach where they had to draw things off of their own lives. And it's always great to get to hear things about the queens and their lives, because I feel like, yes, this show does sort of prey on that a lot of the time, especially when Rue is doing his little walk around and the whole like plastic tiara, I'm your mama now, all that stuff. It does tend to happen on the show, but at least this time around, the queens sort of get more control of their narrative, and we get to learn a bit more about them. Like, I've never known that Jinx got hit by a freaking truck or car, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah,
like,
in Amsterdam,
that's crazy. That's crazy. So I was happy to hear all that stuff.
Am I the only one who would wish that she had gone with the condom story?
I want to know more.
I was like, yeah, getting hit by a car, that obviously there's trauma and such, but let's talk about the condom being lost. What's going on there, Jinx? Yeah.
I like how the more universal story was getting hit by a car.
I hope.
I don't know about this group, but I'll tell you one that I'm much more in danger of than the other. Okay. So, and it's not the car. But yeah, no, that was definitely a choice. Well, Beth, what about you? What did you think?
I loved this challenge. I agree with Amon that there were some aspects of either the roundtable / DragCon panel kind of feeling like you have to relate current or like your experiences to something that's going to be entertaining to a group, so that you have that aspect. But there's also like slight aspects of like kind of like the roast in the sense that it's just you at a podium giving essentially a speech or a rehearsed set of something that you've written beforehand. Some of them did have kind of roast aspects to it. Like you could argue that the Vivian's character was kind of like a roast in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So I like all those things because I've loved the DragCon panels or the roundtable discussion challenges in the past. And I've really liked roasts in the past because normally they're really good and really bad at the same time. But this group, I felt like everybody really delivered. And I was having a really hard time figuring out who were my real top two. I would argue that I don't agree with this top two, but we can get into that in a little bit.
I think that was the thing for me, was because maybe it's because this is the first time that we've seen it, but we saw a couple different interpretations of what this challenge was asking. I mean, obviously Raja's was extremely different from anybody else's. The Viv chose a character, right? Or you can look at someone like Monet, which felt sort of like the most maybe authentic, or Jada's perhaps. Mm-hmm. Even Shay, to a certain extent, was like, I'm just going to play the popular kid who's always been popular. Like, it was still a character to a certain extent. So I also had a really hard time determining who I thought really fulfilled the challenge, because I think you could interpret it in so many different ways, as we saw the queens do. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a fun element because it does bring in a lot of creativity. It's the first time we've ever seen it. It's the first time they've ever seen it. So they don't have any sort of blueprint to work off of. And seeing literally top tier queens be given something like this was really just truly a joy to watch. And I did feel like every speech really had some element of like upliftingness, you know, to inspire the childrens. So I enjoyed it. I thought overall it was really fun. The added twist here is that Monet, the person who got blocked, gets to choose the speaking order, which I thought was interesting. And it was interesting also to give it to Monet, the person who, you know, self-proclaimed the most strategic. So the most petty. I don't know. I thought, you know, looking at the order, do you mm-hmm. feel like she really utilized her power to the most potential?
I mean, I think the Jinx placement, yeah, you're putting someone there that's going to be towards the end, but not quite the end, and way out of the front. So I understand some of the reasoning here. And hoping that, you know, the Vivian will flop by being last. But this challenge to me didn't really feel like the order really mattered that much. Mm. Like, there are some other challenges where everything is just so much more flowing that it feels like the order actually matters. But this one just felt so individualistic that it really felt like everyone was getting their own little spotlight here. Like, this wasn't like the Rusical where, like, someone gets 5 minutes and the other person gets 1 minute. Mm. They have to make it happen. They have to make it work. Everyone gets the same amount of time. And I feel like also having Nikki, and not that, you know, having a guest judge there is any different type of way or anything, but I just feel like having Nikki and Carson there that directly worked with each one of these queens, they all have an individual experience with each one of the queens. So I just felt like the order, who gives a shit, really? Mm-hmm. Like, if I were Monet, I'd be like, look, where do y'all want to go? I don't really care. I'm just going to focus on writing this shit. I mean, if I were Monet, that's probably what I would want to do, because, I mean, hers is funny. I won't shade Monet too much, but I'm just saying, the order didn't give a damn, okay? It doesn't matter.
It's interesting because when I was thinking about like when I graduated from college, we had three speakers and the third speaker was like supposed to be like the biggest speaker. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor who had come and spoke. And everyone's like preparing for the Supreme Court Justice to come speak. And she got completely overshadowed by the first speaker. And like, it was Reverend Peter Gomes from Harvard University who had come, and he was like a personal friend of our president. And he was like a poet and religious studies and such. And he gave what I consider to be the best speech I've ever heard in my entire life. To the point where I, as a 21-year-old, went home and downloaded the speech so that I could refer to it for the rest of my life. It was that good. The second speaker was okay. Sonia Sotomayor gets up there. And this is not at all what her speech was, but it just reminded me of like, this is like when I think back, it was basically like, isn't it crazy? I'm a judge. Like, that's how it came across. Like, after hearing all these like incredibly inspirational words from Reverend Peter Gomes. And it was just so funny to me. So like when I was thinking about the order, I was like, you know, Monet has really set herself up, because if you can really nail it as the first person in something like giving a speech, people are just going to be comparing your speech to everybody else's. Mm-hmm. So you better nail it. So I actually think what she should have done is if she didn't feel super, super, which I'm going to put out there, I actually think she was one of the best ones. So I'm not actually shading her at all. But in terms of strategy, if she didn't know if she would be the absolute best, I would have put somebody you think, like I would have put Vivian first. I would have put the person you're trying to be pettiest to, make them open it, because everybody's going to be going back to that first speech and going, wasn't as good as that one. Or we already heard something and go from there. I felt like she did do what she thought was the shadiest thing, which is put Vivian after Jinx. But if anything, I feel like Vivian's the kind of person who's A, super competitive, and B, so like Jinx that all it did was like fuel her to be even more like in character, over the top, that kind of thing. So I don't know if it was the best decision for her, but I understand the strategy of what she was doing.
Okay, well, let's start talking about these. We kick things off with Monet, as you mentioned, is the first queen to go. And, you know, her sort of workshop narrative was like, it's great, it's sassy, but you got to put that inspiration in there. And I think that by the time she got to the actual speech, I think that she had listened to the feedback and had been able to really have a good mix of humor as well as the sort of inspirational side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did enjoy Monet's. I think that she, I feel like she has so much pressure to be funny because of this whole thing between her and Bob the drag queen. And I think that Monet is very funny. I do. I think that she knows how to tell a joke. I think, I mean, and a lot of her peers, a lot of her sisters are always giving her compliments on Monet. Like, I've been watching a lot of the preseason. You know how they do the whole press tour thing where they go to every fucking magazine imaginable and play all sorts of games. And the queens are always talking about how Monet's comedic timing is like none other. I feel like the real challenge of this, besides making RuPaul laugh, of course, was to understand the balance of how much sentimentality do I put in here? How much comedy do I put in here? How do I mesh the two? And I feel like maybe Monet's was just a touch too formulaic. Maybe it just didn't come off as free flowing as one would have hoped, but I still think that she did the job. Like, if this were a regular ass season, she'd probably be closer towards the top, you know, and not just safe.
Okay, I will tell you, the moment that her hair pick fell out.
Yeah.
And she didn't react.
And she didn't have a thing to do. It was just a whoop.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, this is the difference between, I get it's not an improv challenge, but the difference between Jinx's reaction that we just saw last week that was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll have to speak up when she lost. Yeah. Like, that freaking sent me. And I was expecting something, like just some
if she had also gone, Jesus Christ, I would have died. Because after, especially what I just said in the beginning of this podcast, like oh gosh, that would have been so funny. But I agree. I think that's the difference between when we talked last week, Aman and myself, about the difference between her and Bob, like Bob would have said something. Like Bob would have made a comment about it and been like, even my hair pick can't wait to get out of this school or something that. Yes, you know what I mean? Exactly. Like it would have been quick. And I think that the pressure of going first made it like, I've just got to get through this rather than like living in the moment.
Even if it were something as freaking corny as like, oh, because it's a, she dropped her hair pick. Like, you know, life knocks you down. Just pick it up.
Just something.
Yeah.
Something.
Something that could have been really corny or something would have been great.
Like RuPaul would have died at that.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of felt like if you, I went back and I watched everybody's, and I do think that in the way that we were, again, it's not an improv challenge and this was obviously pre-written, but in the way that we felt like Jinx was like, had all these pre-planned jokes or Shay did last week, it came across as like, I have, here is a joke, laugh. Here is a joke, laugh.
Hold like, for applause.
Hold for applause. Actually, it would have been even funnier if she had written that into her speech. Like if she just had played that up, that she clearly had all these like, and like the football team, hold for applause or hold for laughter or, you know, whatever the case. That might have been a little bit better. But when I went back and I actually watched it, she had more jokes in her speech than most other people did. And I honestly think that's why I felt like she did so well is because she did make it about giving a speech, but it was like if it was just a comedy speech. I think that she was missing the inspirational portion a little bit more than everybody else. Because I remember thinking Shay went after her and I was like, Shay was good, but I think Monet was better.
Yeah.
And then when I watched it again, I was like, Shay had more of the inspirational portion, was able to balance it a little bit better, but Monet had more jokes.
See, this is what this is what I'm saying, where it comes down to how you interpret the objective of this, and that there's so many different ways, and you could talk to anybody and have a completely different top two right of like, oh well, I actually thought that this was better because I, you know, I didn't want, I got enough inspiration, like I don't need the show to like, you know, completely inspire me, like it was good, but you know, like the funny part was what I really craved. Whereas with Shay's, she definitely has, you know, much more of the inspiration. You even see it when she does her walkthrough that she's, you know, gets very emotional when she's telling her story. And you can tell that she's injected so much of her experience, even though it is, you know, somewhat of a character, like into her speech.
Yeah. And I think that it's playing up. This is like one of the few episodes I've been like, oh, I actually really liked Untucked because I felt like it really related to the content of the challenge that we got to see. So we got to see the queens in Untucked really talk about, or some of them talk about like who they were in high school. And that gives you a sense of like even more so what they're drawing from in order to make these speeches. And Shay had one of those like, hey, I just had to be unapologetically myself after I saw like, why would I live a safe life when I could live a true life or an authentic life? And so being able to like turn that and be like, yeah, I was really popular and like be like that dream version of herself, which like had it all in addition to like being the fierce individual that she was in high school. Like, I think that was what makes it so much more powerful too, is when you get that backstory.
Well, and I think, well, that was kind of Shay's whole thing, that was that like by the end, it was, you are the cool kid as long as one person believes in you and that one person can be yourself. Right. That like, that's really all it takes. And how do you define a cool kid? And
I don't know if I believe all that.
It's inspirational, Amon. It's not supposed to be true. God.
Yeah. Who's ever given a true graduation speech? They're like, you can do anything you set your mind to. I was like, that's not always true. Like, oh, it's true sometimes, but that's why it's like a newsworthy thing.
So Bo Burnham released outtakes to Inside on his YouTube. And one of them is like this inspirational thing. It's like, you can only be yourself. And if that doesn't work, be somebody else. Because you could be really boring.
Yeah.
Well, that's like an like years ago, Katya was like, never change unless who you are is a horrible person. Like, it's like, but it's all about like, you need to realize what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then also like, where are you literally a shit person at, and like change that. Like sometimes you do need to change, like period.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're perfect and obviously don't need to change. So let's continue to critique these.
Hashtag K pride. What's up? Be yourself, but also change.
Yeah. All right. Well, Aman, what did you think of Shay's?
I did like Shay's. I did. I've always sort of resonated with that mantra of, you know, it's the whole freaking Lady Gaga thing. There could be 100 people in the room. And as long as negative one person thinks that you're great, like that whole thing has always been something that I've tried to live my life by. Mm-hmm. I do think that, yeah, I think that she leaned a little bit more into the sentimentality of it all and in the life advicey part of it all, which, yeah, it's not going to be as lively and as zesty as some of her peers that are coming out drunk or falling over or dropping cards. But I do think that it's true to who Shay is. Mm-hmm. It reminded me a lot of sort of like the roast challenge they did in season 9. I feel like Shay was very put together. Even her mm-hmm. roasts were sort of like very like they weren't cutting. They were just mm-hmm. sort of like, I'm going to roast you guys because I'm Shay and I just love me. I love being Shay. Like, you know what I mean? So I definitely think that she was a little bit on the weaker end. But I mean, it's just kind of hard to judge these because they're all so good. They're all giving us great advice.
Yeah.
They're all telling us to be great people and to go out in the world and follow our dreams. And then I have to sit here and tell them that they sucked at doing so.
No, I mean, I think that's the thing is like, we all recognize that they all did a really great job, right? Okay. So yeah. Like no one's taking that away. We unfortunately, because this is a competition, like you do end up having to nitpick because we mm-hmm. have to, you know, choose the top two or, you know, make our decision or whatever. So
it was also very clear that they, this like as a general thing, that they had clearly packed for what they thought was going to be a cap and gown ball, like, or like runway, I mean. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Shay's was like my absolute favorite look of coming up with this like graduation gown, little, but like was really structured around the breast area. Mm-hmm. Like it was just so beautiful. And I just sat there half the time being like, I don't even care what she's saying because she looks so damn good right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I felt like Shay's overall was kind of forgettable. Like once we got, there was two queens who I felt like were forgettable and hers was one of them. Mm-hmm. I had like, when I went back and I listened, I was like, oh yeah, it wasn't bad. It just didn't stand out like some of the other queens. Mm-hmm. And I think that what Aman brings up is true for me too.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Trinity. Beth, was she the other forgettable queen or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
So she was not forgettable, but I don't think, I think that she's clearly in the bottom. Like if you had to do a scale, mm-hmm. like I didn't really care for Trinity's because her big moment was like opening up her robe. Like that was it. And I couldn't like, I just felt like it was just kind of like, it was fine. In a normal season, if it was that speech versus most others, I'm sure she would have been towards the top or mm-hmm. right. But like, again, I just felt like all winners, like I didn't really get anything that was too inspirational, too funny, too gag worthy out of her when other people were better at being any of those categories.
So this is why I've never really been a Trinity the Tuck fan. Now don't get me wrong, I have come around to really enjoying Trinity as a queen. I really do. I think that she has exquisite taste. I think that she is probably one of the most well put together queens that has been on the show, period. I think that her win, I'm one of the people that are in the minority when I say that Trinity should have just beaten Monet. And Monet did not need to win All Stars 4. Yes, it would have been caused an uproar in the fandom of like, oh my God, four white queens in a row. This is some bullshit. I get it, but a win is a win is a win. Trinity was a winner back in All Stars 4. But with that being said, when it comes to comedy and Trinity the Tuck, I have never really, really seen it. And I think that this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. When she kept winning all of those improv and comedy challenges throughout season 9 and All Stars 4, I was like, RuPaul, why? Like, I'm not getting it. I chuckle. I giggle maybe, you know? But am I guffawing? Am I smiling from ear to ear in comparison to some of these other queens? No, not really. And once again, I'm not trying to like go in on Trinity because she delivered a very powerful message. They all did. And I really, I never known that about her. I didn't know that she never got a chance to finish school because she had to take care of her family. That's admirable. That sucks that she had to do that. And I feel for her, but and I'm glad that she was able to still find success. That's wonderful. I feel like she didn't really know how to make it as funny as I wanted it to be. And it just reminded me so much of when she would win and I'd be like, what is going on here? Am I missing something?
I honestly think Trinity relies on her accent in order to win comedy challenges. Like everything sounds funny in her like Alabama accent. Yeah. Like that's what it is.
She won the talent show for the tucking thing. And I was
ridiculous.
What is going on? Is it just because she made a song with that accent? Is she just, all she did was list the instructions. You know, I'm just like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the times that she's won Snatch Game are founded. Even though she didn't really change her voice at all for Leslie Jordan this past time. I mean, she did. She was quick and she came up with responses and such. And that's the name of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with you, Iman. I am also somebody who doesn't always see, like, I can see, I guess, why people would think that she's funny. But in this situation, I felt like everything kind of fell flat.
For me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I was probably the highest then hearing the two of you on Trinity. I felt like also part of it is this is so stupid, but I like seeing when queens take feedback and improve. So like the fact that she improved the Hooked on Phonics joke is like, good for you, Trinity.
Yeah.
Like,
that was fun.
Go, girl.
Yeah, but I didn't even think it was funny. Like,
I thought it was funny. I think Hooked on Phonics.
Like the Hooked on Phonics thing was fun. I love that she was like, I really was a kid that was hooked on phonics.
Yeah.
Like when she said that in the like walkthrough with Nikki Glaser and Carson, I was like, oh, that's funny because you're trying to explain it and you're being genuine.
Yeah.
But when it was staged up, and maybe it's because I already knew it was coming.
Yeah,
but when she was like, for me, I was like, yeah, I get it. You're saying me. Like, okay, cool. I could probably be in the minority there.
Go ahead, Iman.
Trinity, like I said, I've grown to really, really appreciate her as a queen. And I do think that she has funny moments. I think that she has a proclivity for humor, but I think that for it to be one of her overarching narratives throughout her tenure on Drag Race.
Sure, what she's known for kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm like, don't do this, because now every single time that your ass gets up there and tries to be funny, I'm going to have to be extra critical now because the producers are telling me that you're funny. Come on now.
The one last thing I'll say about Trinity's is actually the biggest qualm I had was sort of the order. It felt like she was doing more inspirational stuff first and then sort of closed with jokes. And I was like, let's flip that around, because I just felt like that didn't work. Yeah. So to me, that was like my biggest critique of hers. But otherwise, I thought it was fine. Okay, let's talk about Raja's. So Raja's was obviously the most conceptual, the most different. We hear from the beginning that she's going to do, she's like, I get this vision of this religious leader, this cult leader, this wizard lady. And, you know, she like fully embraces that and goes forward with this. Beth, how do you think this worked?
Okay. Y'all know I've been asking for a Raja win for weeks now. So. Yep. In that sense, I'm happy she got a star.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I just don't get it. And clearly RuPaul was in love with it. And we know this is RuPaul's show. So whatever RuPaul finds funny is going to happen, right? But as a concept, I felt like she didn't go deep enough. If you're going to be a cult leader, like, tell them things that they need to be doing and not conceptually speaking. If you're talking about the ebb and flow, okay, great. Now tell them, okay, in order to achieve ebb and flow, I need you to do these things for me. Like, and she never really arrived at the point where she felt like a cult leader. She just felt like Professor Trelawney going up and speaking nonsense. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what she was going to do, fine. But she specifically multiple times talked about wanting to be a cult leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like the point of a cult leader is to gain the trust of people and then tell them to do things. And there wasn't any directive there. So I felt like she just had a weird character, but it didn't really get to what she was doing. And I felt like she could have gone a lot farther with it. Now, that said, I'm happy that it was really different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. I thought that she looked really fun and amazing. And she has this like ability to like really open up her eyes wide and kind of do that kind of thing. And that's kind of cool and fun, but I don't think it was top two worthy myself. But again, at the other hand, I'm just happy she has a star. So I will stop complaining mm-hmm. about that.
I liked it. I take your point, Beth. I didn't really think about it that way. I sort of just, when she started mentioning wanting to be a cult leader, I thought, if to me, it just sort of felt like the general aura that she was trying to go for. But I think that's, I like that though. I think if she had injected a bit more of that in there, like if she had like some sort of poster that had like a link to her Cash App and Venmo and all stuff for like joining the Church of Raja, that would have definitely taken it over the edge and elevated it. So I agree with you. But I mean, look, RuPaul is so, he's such a fan of like humor and nihilism. Okay. He's a big fan of just like nothing in life really matters. Don't take it too seriously. We're all going to die. Like he's very much that. And Raja gave very much that. He just regurgitated it back at Ru. A bunch of cliches and nihilismisms. I think that was sort of the name of the game here. So I appreciated what she had to say. I do think that maybe she could have taken it a touch further. I do think that we got shots of RuPaul laughing his ass off, which he always does. But then when you see Nikki Glaser also laughing her ass off, I'm like, ooh, is it that funny? But I did agree with the top two placement for Raja.
Mm. I echo, of course. I think that Raja had been, you guys mentioned this last week, in that like kind of third place slot for a number of weeks. And so, yes, I am happy that she ultimately, you know, got a star here. I think at first when it started, because it was in such like dark contrast to everybody else's, I was like, is this working? I don't think this is working. But then as we went along more and more, I was like, okay, I think this is working. But it just, it like took too long for me to get into it. And then I totally agree, Beth. I wanted more cult, not enough cult for me.
Give me more cult.
Exactly. I mean, I think the jokes were there, right? That it was like, grasp every moment, fuck a lot, pay your taxes, be kind and good to people, especially those that have money. But, you know, also to other people, because you never know when there's a camera there like that. Yeah. I mean, that stuff's all really funny and it's all really good. And again, like she took a very unique approach to the challenge. I think maybe just because it was like a little bit of a warm up to get there. And that might be just because it was sandwiched between, you know, sort of like more traditional approaches to the challenge. But I, you know, whatever. I think I would have a hard enough time picking my top two if I had to pick. I maybe wouldn't have put Raja up there, but I'm not upset about it.
It's ironic that I literally probably would have put her third or fourth when that's where she's been this entire season and I've been complaining about it. So I'm like, I probably would have put her third or fourth. And then I'm like, I have like the calls coming from inside the house.
Exactly.
Back, like.
The line about if you shoot for the moon, you'll end among the stars. Yes, you'll incinerate, but star, like, yes, stars. No. That I appreciate.
Stars,
that.
Baby, like stars.
I also really like the, we're all gonna die. Mm-hmm. Like, just the way she said that was really good. But that's, again, like, one of the things that we think about with cults is, like, this, like, mass, like, we're all gonna take this medicine at the same time at this, like, lunar event and, like, die but be among
drink
the stars
the
like
baby.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I wish that she could have capitalized on that joke a little bit more. Like, if like the whole point that she's kind of starts that off with, we're all gonna die, and then make it about, okay, these are the things we need to do before our collective deaths or something like that, like would have been exactly food. And just been like, and if you want your test tube of, you know, life elixir, come and see me in the back. I don't know, something ridiculous.
Kool-Aid yellow shot.
The Kool-Aid
not life
jello
elixir
shot.
Oh my god.
But I don't know, I just
life elixir shit.
Yeah, really.
Maybe we could all use some. Should we start a cult?
I kind of love.
Did you guys join?
Oh my god!
Yeah. If we started a cult, what kind of cult would you guys want? It? What kind of cult content would you want?
Cult content.
Do you want to die tomorrow? Do you want to die the day after?
You want some like
after?
ASMR, like this, you're
going
to die. What
lunar event are we all going to like come together?
We just missed the lunar eclipse / blood moon. So let's figure out what the next one is.
Okay.
Yeah, what flavor Kool-Aid?
What flavor Kool-Aid did Paul leave in the house?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get away from this before we actually decide to start a cult. Let's talk about Jada. So, you know, she opens with the degrees from Drag U and Trump University, which was funny to hear a Drag U joke and to have RuPaul laugh at it. Like, okay.
And connect it to Trump University, which is
that too.
I thought was hysterical. Like, both are failed.
Yeah.
That to me was the only memorable thing. In my opinion, Jada was the weakest person of the challenge. I've seen it twice and I still couldn't tell you what else happened in her speech.
Well, she had the line that was, I'm sure you're all very proud of me. Like, that was one of her jokes. And then she also had the, you're all alive, because it'd be awkward if you weren't.
Her whole speech was about turning 30 and feeling like she had missed her chance at success, but no matter how old you get, you can still find it, which,
right,
you know, as the general thesis is fine. Yeah. I don't think she did the worst. We're getting to who I think, unfortunately, did the worst, but I think she was definitely on the lower end as well. I do agree with you there. I did, however, like the callback, of course, to the look over there. I feel like Jada's one of the only ones that can be that self-referential and you never get tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it hasn't been beaten into the ground, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Monet had come out in a sponge gown, I would have been like, no.
That would have been the end. That just suspend the no elimination rule.
Send her home.
And send her home. Send her right on back to Bob.
She's blocked from here on out. She doesn't get another star. Just put her out.
All of her stars have to be given to her. Which is so interesting, by the way. This is sort of like the opposite of what I thought was going to happen. I thought people were going to be stealing stars. But now people are given stars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have got a lot to talk about with that as well. Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, let's talk about Evie. Yeah. Amon, I'm gonna make a guess here. No, not your favorite.
I thought it started off so fun. I thought she actually fell.
Same.
Like, those damn tall ass heels. I was like, your ankles are gonna, like, don't you have like a degenerative disease, Evie? Like, you can't be doing this. Like, calm down. And then it sort of just tapered off. I don't know. I just. Because what was her speech about? It was about, you know,
failure. The gift of failure.
Mm-hmm. Well?
Oh.
I couldn't disagree more here, Amon.
I would say it was a complete fail. I'm hamming it up. But yeah, I do think, I just feel like it didn't really land for me. Mm. I just felt like it all started off with, you know, thanks for signing a check, RuPaul. And I couldn't do a Whoopi Goldberg impression, yada, yada, yada. But then, I don't know. I just needed more. Maybe I'm being a little bit more self-critical because I'm rooting for her hardcore and I want her to win. But I don't know. I just felt like it didn't give me my zhuzh. Didn't give me.
I kind of felt like hers was stronger because she went after Jada. Jada was so like, I'm amazing, blah, 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 blah. And then she comes out and was like, okay, but we all need to fail in order to succeed. And I think that she probably had the strongest inspirational portion of the speech. Mm-hmm. I agree that kind of lost some of the jokes after a little while. Mm-hmm. But in the sense that what Liana was talking about earlier about doing jokes first, inspirational second, like flipping the order, I thought that she kind of nailed it. I actually felt like she was one of the stronger people in terms of, I could hear that speech at a commencement and be good to go. Like, I couldn't hear Jada's speech at a commencement.
Right.
You know what I mean? It would be amazing if I heard Raja's at a commencement, but there's no way anybody would approve that speech. So like, I kind of felt like if you're going for realism, I felt like Evie was probably my favorite in terms of realism. I laughed. The hypermobility of her and flexibility of like her ankles and such was just like even better. I wish she had had like something on the way back. Maybe that she didn't fall, but like just like a dramatic like back bend as she sat down or something ridiculous. But I really think that I felt like this was a strong week for Evie because we're used to seeing her be so confident in being like a quote unquote outsider or being in her own place. And then to find something that is universal for everybody that she can say, I'm successful because I've learned from my mistakes. I thought that was really kind of powerful, especially like coming from her in particular, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think if the goal is to give a inspirational speech to a diverse group of people, the gift of failure is a pretty good message to go with, right? Because all of us are going to fail. Yeah. Okay. And the flipping it into the successes or my successes are the fruits of my failures. Love that. Right. And then to give her own examples, right, of the whole, I would never know that I was so good at lip syncing until I realized I was so bad at Whoopi Goldberg. Right.
That was
those
such a good
little
one.
Elements. And it was throughout her entire speech, like from the moment that she falls, which is a failure, to go to the podium, it's literally woven throughout the entire speech.
Mm-hmm.
That part, I think she did really well. What are the more, you know, most memorable jokes? It was mostly like self-deprecating humor, the moment of silence for RuPaul at the beginning, that kind of stuff, which is not like, oh my God, ha ha ha, this is like the funniest. Yeah. But in terms of the inspirational piece, I think that she really nailed that. And I think that for that reason, I probably lumped like Jada, Shay, Trinity, Monet, and Evie all in sort of similar styles, right? Because Raja was super unique, Jinx's was super unique, and The Viz was super unique.
Yeah.
So the other five I kind of put all together. Of those five, I don't know. I think she was probably one of the strongest, but because of the inspirational stuff, not necessarily because of the humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was craving the humor for all of the queens.
Which
that's
is fair. Also, yeah, exactly. But that's part of the interpretation of the challenge, right? Is that like, if you want more of the lighthearted humor stuff, then totally she didn't do as well in that.
Yeah.
Okay. We have two really unique ones to talk about left. So let's go with Jinx. Two ideas, hit by a car, lost condom. We went with the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I will say, okay. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts, but when she first walked out with the like witch's costume, because she was kind of ragging on Raja for doing a conceptual character and she came out wearing like the witches at the wrong school. I was like, did you just like steal this idea? Because, okay.
But it clearly was because of this runway prompt that they got. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Nobody was trapped. So she was trapped in it. But it's one of those things that makes you wonder, okay, Raja clearly knew what her outfit was going to be. And that helped informed what kind of speech she was going to write. And Jinx did that kind of for the beginning.
Yeah. Well, because she had to figure out a way to tie it in. Like, how do you like walk out in a witch's hat and be like, everything's normal?
I think what made Jinx's so strong was one of the tenets of comedy, repetition. You know, she had that general premise of getting hit by the car, and then she was able to keep circling back to it. At least three times in the speech, and still was able to hold all of it together with addressing your trauma. So I think just both comedy wise and inspirational wise, it melded the two perfectly. I mean, as soon as she was done, I was like, all right, well, there goes Jinx getting another star. Here we go.
I kind of felt like, yeah, it was strong. It was fine. I don't think it was as good as like some of the other concepts. I felt like Evie had a better inspirational concept than Jinx did. I felt like, for me, I just kind of predict, and look, don't get me wrong, I am a huge Jinx fan. She's who I'm like rooting for. It's like her and Monet are my top two people that I'm rooting for in the season. But I got everything I figured I was going to get from Jinx. Like, there wasn't anything that was too funny for me. Like, the repetition of getting hit by a car, I just didn't find that funny myself. I was like, okay, Oh, I got hit by a car.
It does sound rather painful. I mean, like, however you want to address your trauma is your business, but I was like, damn. You're spine out of alignment and shit. You can't, wear some clothes. Like, damn. Like
true stories. My brother was a cross country runner, and in high school, he was running for practice, and they were running around town, and he and another person were running across the street, like where there was a crosswalk, and it was at a blind corner for a driver, and a truck accelerated out of stopping and hit both of them. And then, but like not hard because it was just accelerating, and they both fell and immediately got up and continued running. And the truck was like, so it literally was a hit and run because they were just like, well, we got to keep running. But they ran. And for years, we've always joked about that being like a legitimate hit and run, mm-hmm. and how they're like, you know, what that, I mean, the one kid ended up having a concussion, which was a little, you know, but that was like little hilarious. Things like that. But yes, so funny. But like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I don't know if I just thought personally it was as funny to be like, and like, because they're going to, as soon as they want, like hit you with a car and leave you for, I was like, I get it. Like you've now said this a couple times. So I just didn't think it was as strong comedically as I expect out of Jinx, especially with how strong she was like last week and during the Snatch game. I felt like this was relatively weak for her.
It's interesting because I actually kind of agree, and I saw a lot of praise for hers, and I was like, am I being overly critical because I have high expectations because she's been so good? So I like sort of had to check myself of like, is it, or is it just like, oh, maybe this isn't clicking with me. I think what didn't click with me, I think she's a fantastic storyteller.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to, I don't know how this is going to come across. This was not necessarily inspirational to me. I 100% agree with her thesis statement, which is that we can't forgive our past until we give ourselves time to face it. Mm-hmm. And that the body remembers trauma, even if the mind suppresses it. 100% agree. Biggest fan of therapy. Totally agree. But that doesn't get me going. You know, I'm like, yeah, let's go deal with my trauma. You know, like, I don't know.
Happy graduation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, you know, those 4 years of like trauma that you've had in college, like you should probably deal with that before you go into the real world. Like, yeah. That's not what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that. Like, can we just pretend that everything's okay for graduation day?
Gap and I'll
like,
speech.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, if she had related it to the trauma of being in school, that actually probably would have made it better. And like, because then it's like, it makes sense as a theme for people graduating.
But it's still not inspirational, yeah. Regardless. I think of how you slice it. Again, important message. Don't get me wrong. Very, very, very important message. But if you think about like inspirational speeches, yeah, no.
Or like if she had
not for
or
me.
If she really wanted to use it, maybe then just, you know, do like a bit of a before and after, like this was my life before addressing my trauma, now this is my life after addressing my trauma. Mm-hmm. So many opportunities have opened up for me. I've been able to do this. Mm-hmm. At least then you would have some sort of like, what's the moral of the story here? But yeah, I mean, no, I didn't think about it that way, but I can definitely see, as far as like, I mean, as far as the comedy is concerned, I think she did a good job. It's Jinx. She's always going to do a fairly decent job at comedy. Inspirational. Yeah. Maybe not the strongest message. The nigga now that was Raja's and they loved that one too. I just like, look, the name of the game, we always know. If you can make that bitch laugh, yep. That's all you need to do.
Yep.
And you know, like, look, don't take it too seriously. Don't take the challenges so seriously, and you will get a good grade.
100%.
Always will.
Yeah. Always okay. Will. It's always just about make RuPaul laugh.
Yep. Let's close things out with the Viv, who does, if Raja did a character, the Viv was in character the whole time. And actually, I will say, I'm happy that they mentioned it when they were going over each of the queens, the judges, because I did see her in the back and they kept showing her from time to time. I was like, oh, this is really funny. And this would be a big distraction. You know, when a background character steals the show, I felt like that was for Viv because she's got her like dress hiked up. She's like leaning back. Like how are your eyes like not drawn to that?
She's drinking a martini. She's smoking a cigarette. Yeah. Like there were so many elements to it. That's the thing. Like in theater, they'll tell you don't upstage, don't steal focus, those kind of things. Just be a part of the background, be a part of like the, get people imagining what's going on and make them a part of what's going on, right? No. The name of the game on RuPaul's Drag Race is always upstage the other people. I don't give a shit. You need to stand out and be noticeable. And that's what she did. She did it better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so now her actual speech, right? Like, obviously hilarious. She plays into the whole character. I love, what was the one joke that was like, you know, so-and-so finished top of their class, Trinity finished on top of her professor. Like, that was unexpected and really funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, she's got the big finale where she falls over. Comedy challenge, nailed it. Like, roast, also, she had the roast elements that were pretty strong in there, nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed. I didn't really feel inspired.
I felt inspired to get a drink.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't care that it's 9 a.m. and I'm watching this on Saturday morning. Let me go get a mimosa.
She was like, I'm going to tell you guys a story about my sobriety. You all were exactly right. Everyone that said that I was going to be a shit drunk ass bitch. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it. That's what I am. That's what I am. I was like, okay, well, what else?
Yeah.
But I do think that the characterization of it all was great. I echo what the both of you said. I think that she did a fantastic job. And I liked what Nikki had to say about, like, you want to make sure that you are able to still hold the audience's attention, because sometimes people, like drunk people, they ramble and you don't want to listen to that. But I think that she, the drunk voice, all the characterization was very, very well done. Vivian's very talented. She's she's very, very talented at that kind of stuff. But I agree with what Michelle had to say at the end. It's like, I really was so engrossed in what she was going to say next, because even her very voice was sort of like intoxicating. Like, I felt like I was getting drunk with her. Like, I felt like I had to do extra work to understand what she was saying, even though I didn't have to do extra work to understand what she was saying. So yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun watching it, but yeah, I guess the inspirational part of it was sort of lacking. Yeah.
It was also, it's one of those things where you're, again, we don't have a rubric of like, what are they looking for in particular, right? Because if you wanted all jokes, no inspiration, Vivian was in the top two. If you wanted all inspiration, very limited jokes, Evie's in the top two. So in my weird world, they were my top two because they were so complimentary of each other.
Like, it was the opposite. You get both
like
sides,
they're the
both
yin
sides.
And yang, you know?
Yeah, it's like that final two speech that Tyra Banks is always getting, or bottom two speech. One of you has what the other one needs.
But I felt like, okay, so the top two ends up being Jinx and Raja, because they arguably blended the two the best together of comedy and inspiration. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
From the judges' perspectives. I don't know. I felt like this was so hard to figure out who the top two were.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if we can use the runways to kind of factor in to a decision here. Let's quickly go through the different looks. So the runway theme this week was Veiled It, which I thought was pretty funny.
It would have been amazing if Nicole Byer had
been.
Yeah,
I thought the same thing.
I know. We need our Nailed It queen. All right, let's talk about Monet's look first, which, you know, a veil? Yes? No. It's a cage.
The veil was taken away in the very beginning, which was understandable.
That's right.
I wish that she had made it so it was just you pull back as if like you're just exposing part of the cage, but then like there's like a long train around or something like that. But everything else about this, I'm obsessed with. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with this dress. It looks so good on her. The colors are beautiful. Everything looks so good. But the veil portion is, again, what?
Yeah. It's not called I Know Why the Veiled Bird Sings. Okay.
Come on.
And because it's feathers, too. It's so funny.
I did sort of, you know, cock my head at the image of that chain cage, whatever the fuck. But I mean, you know, it was just her interpretation of veil. So,
yeah,
whatever.
And her makeup looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Like, stunning. Okay. Okay, so Shays. Okay, so a little bit of tea on Shay Coulee's. So I was on Reddit this morning, as one does, and Shay's look is actually from a collection, the Robert One collection, W-U-N. And there's like a whole set of looks.
Oh, okay.
So keep that in mind as you're critiquing, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. Love letter to grandma, like obsessed. And then when I saw that, I was like, oh, so this is just a designer. I don't know. I like lost a little bit of.
Damn. You were like, okay, how much money were you going to be? How much money was grandma spending?
That is correct.
My love letters from my grandmother's check for my birthday.
Which is hilarious because the designer, apparently, there's a quote. The collection is called Armour, and it's a tribute to my grandmother.
Shay!
Did you feel this?
Shay!
I mean, I'm sure it's real. And I'm sure she she maybe modified it to meet hers. But anyway, just want to point that little factoid out.
Well,
Shay.
Yeah. And here I was about to say, oh yeah, her grandmother, the story of her grandmother, which I'm sure. I mean, she's talked about her family a lot in her dad, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like so I'm sure there was still truth in there. Mm-hmm. It's just funny that he took it from someone else who was doing the exact same thing.
Shay!
I didn't like it at first. Like, I gotta be honest. No disrespect to Shay, her grandmother, or the grandmother of the designer and the designer themselves. I just didn't like it. But I did. After a while, I was like, you know what? After I watched it for the second time, I was like, oh, I'm kind of into this whole look. It sort of like billows out. It's given sort of like mysterious with the veil and everything. Like, I was like, okay, I could see like a rose garden mistress just like hovering over her flowers and there's like smoke all around her. And then if you get too close, the thorns will get you, sis. Like, I see the vision. I see
My vision for this was Beverly Hills woman decides to give up everything and move to Vermont and like cultivate her own garden and like farm and like, but also not actually give up her material possessions or fashion sense. Cause especially with like the long braid and then like the like strands of hair in the front, I was like, I've seen so many of those women in Vermont, like they're there. But I thought this was a unique look. I thought it was really cool. I didn't know if I really liked the huge gold bangles on the wrists. I didn't see how that kind of flowed with it all, but I wasn't also like too mad at that. It's interesting to have a veil only really be in the front and not in the back. So I thought that was an interesting concept. But overall, I thought this was a cool look. It wasn't like my top look, but it wasn't in my bottom either.
I just want to touch it. It looks so soft.
It does. Like, I kind of want to cuddle up.
I know. All right, Trinity, the train queen this season.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, like I said, look, Trinity is always going to look great. She always knows how to find these outfits, make these up, whatever she's doing. She knows what's going to look good on her and what works on her. The veil is a little, I mean, you have more train than veil, like, I mean, which I guess is usually always the case, but in a veil challenge, like,
is the loop the veil? Because she's got the like fascinator bit.
No, that's part of the fascinator. This is exactly why I didn't like this for veil, quote unquote. It's amazing that she could drag that underneath her wig and her wig's not coming off. That is incredible. The point of a veil is that it's supposed to cover your face and like you can peel it back, right? Where on the veil can she pull that in front of her face?
Yeah. It would have been funny if we had seen her like try to pull the train is like over the veil and she tries to like.
If there was a little bit at the top that she could flip over and then do that as a reveal, so it just like comes a part of like this billowing portion, great. But if the only thing that makes it a veil is that you tucked it into the underside of like this huge bun of your hair, like that is not only what a veil is. Like a veil is to cover your face.
I mean, she looks stunning, but yeah.
She looks gorgeous.
A veil it is not.
Also, I love that she's been wearing a lot of red and such, because I don't remember her wearing a lot of red. But I'm now I'm kind of getting sick of it.
Okay, well, there's another queen who's been sticking to one color despite saying that she never wears it. So.
Is it the Vivian in blue?
It's the Vivian in blue again. All right, let's talk about Raja, the Vogue, but voile or whatever, mm-hmm. however you say veil in French, cover. So creative, so pretty. She's just, Raja is the inspiration.
Raja is the moment. I wish she hadn't done stoned tights or like stockings. That's the only thing, is that I wish there weren't sequins there, because it's just taking away from like the amazingness at the top. Like every once in a while, like because of the lights on the stage, I'm being drawn back down to the sparkles on her legs. For this alone, I'm happy she's in the top two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoy the concept of this as well. The only gripe that I have is just, I don't know, I just wish that maybe, but then again, I don't know how she would have pulled it off. Maybe if the cover was just a little bigger, just a little bit, because I feel like it, sometimes it just sort of has the tendency to just look like some weird ass piece of paper, just like being
dragged.
It kind
of folded a little bit also. Yeah. Yeah. So
if it was just a touch more structured, but I mean, just the creativity of putting yourself on the cover alone is just great. She said it at least twice. She was like, oh yeah. Voile is veil in French. See what I did there? And I'm like, you spelled veil in French? Like, I don't know. Was there some sort of like inside joke? Am I missing something? Like,
well, I like the idea that it's like supposed to be Vogue, right? But like, I assume because of whatever, you know, copyright, all of those issues. So she turned it into, that's why her head is blocking. I don't know. That was mine. Yeah. I might be giving her too much credit.
Okay.
I do wish that she had more than just hashtag lady attitude in that lower area. Like if there had been like another like article or something like that, but also I have never once in my life seen hashtag lady attitude, and I want to start seeing it now.
Hashtag lady attitude. Oh my God. Coming at you this week, the Drag Race podcast, hashtag lady attitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, Trinity's may not have had enough veil, but Jada, oh, she had plenty of veil.
She was
literally
veil.
Covered. Yeah. She is the veil.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like with like the bodice and like the little like, I don't even know, it's not technically a hoop skirt, I don't think, but
the,
whatever,
like, peplum sort of.
Yeah, that whole area just makes me think of like a hair tie or something that's like tying something, like bunching, that's bunching together. Like, I don't know. It was just really
is hair tie.
Yeah, the hair runway tie, is hair tie.
This is what gay ass dementors wear, honey.
Right?
This is like, yes, we're about to go fuck up Azkaban. Let's go suck some souls tonight, honey. Yes.
We're sucking some holes tonight. Or souls tonight.
Let's
all right.
go get serious black, bitch. Hey.
Oh man. I felt like Shay's was just fashion, for example, like now that we know that it literally was just a designer's, this is drag. Like this is over the top, take a theme and drag it up. So I for that, I appreciated it, but I don't know if I really liked it at all, to be honest with you.
Well, Nancy Pelosi couldn't see her face. So. Okay. I want to talk about my most absolute favorite look. on the runway this week, and that's Evie's. And this is like part of the reason why it was like, depending on your interpretation of the challenge, I could see bumping Evie into that winner circle because of this look. Oh my God. The moment she like does where she fans it out and steps forward, that was it. It was done. I was like, this is my most favorite look. I love the beads. I love everything about this. It's stunning.
I 100% agree. I thought everything, imagine how heavy that is as well.
Oh my God.
And the fact that she could keep it in place. The big beads also being there to contrast with like the small beads that are both in the front and the back. And then the kind of like hood that's also with it. Everything was just absolutely so gorgeous. And I don't know. I really felt like, and I know Amon doesn't agree, but I really felt like between this and how different her speech was, but also so genuine to her. I would have probably put her in the top two.
Mm-hmm. I also think there would have been something like really poetic about Raja and her being in the top two,
yes.
because it would have been like the two queens who didn't have a star now have a star and they have the ability to give a star away. There would have been something really, but you know, they obviously it's not rigged.
Give it to each other. All right.
Seriously.
Okay. I would have been iconic.
Oh my God. I specifically listened when RuPaul was like, the other six queens are eligible. I was like, damn it. You can't just give it to each other. Cause that would have been so smart.
Yeah.
I would have done that.
Yeah, no, this is stunning. Just absolutely stunning. I mean, Evie always has an interesting POV on the runway at all times. You know, when she walked out, I did do like a, oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, they yeah. Gasp. I do wish that I had liked her speech a bit more because then I would be feeling the same way that you do, Beth. But, yeah, I mean, if anything, her run, if this were a regular season, her runway would have... made her closer towards the top, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we have Jinx Monsoon here. I tried to capture the back where you could see the butterflies, but obviously that didn't work very well. But anyway, so here is Jinx's take on the veiled it look.
Honestly, I think she's a lazy bitch. I mean, the least that she could have done was get live butterflies. Like,
yeah.
Because that always turns out so well, you know?
I literally didn't understand that the butterflies were supposed to be holding it up until Michelle Visage says something. And I don't know if that's
really
a thick bitch or what. Thick in the head. I'm also thick in the body. but I don't know like what it was, but I literally, it looked good job, Beth. I am thick. It looked so like, weird to me that I wasn't able
just
to
just like a
understand.
Weird like structured crown. I was like, what?
Yeah, and I was like, okay,
look at it too hard, that's all you will see. Yeah,
that's all I saw. And then Michelle's like, I love that the butterflies were supposed to be like lifting up her veil, and I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that makes more sense. So I appreciated it more after the fact. There, I had this whole thing about how the veil is supposed to be on your face. I don't like how it looks. It just looks like a piece of fabric over her face that's a little too long. It would have been interesting. I don't know if I think it would have looked better if she didn't just have like some fabric just laying down. Like if she could have done something with it, I don't know.
Right. I mean, the centerpiece is truly the butterflies when it should be the veil. I immediately got what it was supposed to do. There's this, there's an, you know, just the Disney fan in me, you know, I love this Winnie the Pooh movie where there's like a scene with like butterflies and they're all like, the butterflies are like picking them up and everything. And it just like reminded me of that scene in that movie in my childhood. It's just like, oh my God. So I immediately got it. But yeah, I do agree that I think that sort of takes away the attention from the veil. Maybe if like, I don't know, I'm always expecting so much of these queens when they already pay so much money for these damn looks anyway. But maybe if there was like, like mechanic part of this dress that like if she pulls something down the side, the butterflies lift up her veil, because then maybe that'll, you know,
would have been iconic and absolutely would have shot this to my number one look if they had done that. Yeah.
Because why are they lifting up the back? It's like, butterflies, you're doing the wrong thing, bitch.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's a great point. Great point.
Look, they're just
that's
confused.
What it is.
They're underpaid, overworked, okay, like every other person.
You just nailed exactly what I think is wrong with this because I couldn't figure it out. That's exactly, the veil should be lifted from the front, not the back. The butterflies need to be, she flipped that shit around. What are you doing? Oh my God. Yes.
She's like, we just want to help.
Yeah. Asia.
My eyes are over here. Butterflies.
All right. Let's talk about the Vivs. Again, wearing blue. Just saying. Look, I'm not going to lie. When she first walked out, I didn't even notice the ball gag or the restraints. And it took me a second. And I think because of that sort of reveal, at least to me, I was like, oh, and it was like, I saw the ball gag, then I saw the restraint, and then I saw her like kind of hobbling around. So it like took a second. And because of that, I think I liked it more than I would have if I had just seen everything from the get-go.
I don't like that it's the color blue. It makes no sense being blue. If you're going to go, which Okay, I'm not a member of like the kink community, so like y'all can come for me. I was here to say,
what kind of knowledge you about to drop on us right now?
but I kind of feel like if it had been a color that was a little more like a red, a black, even like a purple, like a dark purple or something like that. The fact that it's like, I don't know, like almost like a turquoise color. Turquoise. We were just watching the Alexis turquoise. Michelle thing. It probably would have, I would have liked it a little bit more, but I think this is such an interesting concept. I never would have thought about a veil being used for something like kinky, and I'm like totally here for that. Literally the only thing I didn't like is that it was the color blue.
It could have been the lighting for me, and maybe the fact that it all is all one color, but like the belts and everything and the restraints around like her torso sort of like bunched up the fabric of the dress, and it just made it look a little messy for me. You don't really tend to notice it as much in these two pictures, but that was like my initial thought when I saw her come around the corner. But yeah, definitely an interesting way to go. I just don't know if I appreciate the execution. I do love the color though. Just maybe more if there were like a few more highlights or something, or something to just differentiate it so that it doesn't look like one just big giant blob in the front.
Side note, if I had to do, because you know they have to do the runway twice. If I had to do, had to be in that ball gag for that long, like I have anxiety about going to the dentist to having my mouth open too long. The way I would have been like, actually get me out of this. I'm like done. You got it the first time. We're good.
Yeah. Like, how did she get them? I guess I'm assuming one of her sisters had to help her. Cause how
else? And like tie the veil around her neck and like, so that she can still breathe.
Yeah.
I feel like commitment. It was Evie.
I could see that.
Fashion is pain.
Okay, great. So went through the runway, went through the Queen's performances. Nancy Pelosi was there.
Again. Yay. Which the one takeaway, which I still say, midterm elections coming up. Make sure you register to vote. Express your voice and your opinions.
Vote, yes. And I think we got this in Untucked as well, where local elections matter a lot and there is a ripple effect. And to actually have like local change, those local elections matter. Okay.
Not to only put out there that a lot of the people who were involved with January 6th are running for local elections. So
come on, young people. Don't let the olds have
please
this.
Please run for office, but also vote for the people who are local.
Yes. Okay. Well, we get our top two this week, Raja and Jinx. And as we mentioned, they both get stars, but they also have the ability to give away two stars. So we're going to see the results of this next week. But do you guys have any predictions of who you think is going to get a star?
I think Evie's going to get a star. I think that it would be like, why would you give somebody a second star when you can just give somebody their first star and then everyone's on an equal playing field?
I also hate that because then it's going to get delegitimized.
Oh, totally.
I mean, she seemed to have no qualms with it. She was like, look, I will gladly be a charity. But I'm just like, damn it. I just wanted your first one to be earned.
Real.
But then again, someone will inevitably get a second star and that one isn't earned. So as long as Evie earns another star, then she's on the same playing field as someone else.
I could see like Jada also getting one. I feel like she gets along with everybody. And I feel like even though she's been doing well, she hasn't been like on everybody's top radar. So I feel like they would want to award somebody. Like, do you feel like being given a star is kind of a slap in the face?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, look, if you're playing strategically, you want to give it to the person that you think is least likely to get a star, depending. There's a different strategy I want to talk about at the end. But theoretically, you give it to the person who's underperforming. So whomever you think that is. Or it could be someone who, I guess it doesn't really matter what they're good at, like whether or not they're good at the same thing as you. I think you just want to give it to the person who you feel like is least likely to get another star.
So, I mean, I definitely agree. I think we're probably right then. I think Evie definitely for sure. And I could see Jada only because I don't necessarily think that a lot of the queens expect her to be a supreme powerhouse, which might be a mistake. Obviously Jinx can't get one. Obviously Raja can't get one. I don't think the Viv is not going to get one.
No,
Bob Shay is not going to get one. Shay's not going to get one. Bob is getting exposed. Oh, wow.
Bob.
I actually think Monet, I think Monet could get one. I think we got a lot of foreshadowing of like Monet being talking to Trinity, talking to Raja, being like, so if you, you know, get an opportunity to give me a star, I think Monet like, could be one.
I feel like we've seen a little bit of foreshadowing of her getting exposed for the gamer that she is, which ultimately led to her getting blocked. So I'm like wondering if either Raja or Jinx. I mean, I think that Jinx is pretty much onto it. Like, I mean, she caught Trinity and Monet, oh, yeah, you know,
they
steaming.
Asked her to be a part of the alliance. Raja hasn't.
What about all that?
Raja may not know, and I could see Raja giving Monet a star.
Unless Jinx gives her Monet.
Star, wouldn't it be, it would be so gag worthy if Jinx and Raja both gave it to Evie.
Evie, and Evie's got two. I don't know, honestly.
That would be the
move.
I think that's the move.
I think that's the move.
Because then Evie has to get a star on her own in order for, because you just can't get two charity stars. One is fine. You can't get two.
Why not? You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this. If you're going purely off of how well queens have been performing in this, even though she's a powerhouse, Shay hasn't been delivering, like, in being in the top two. And I would argue that she's been towards the bottom in a couple of these challenges, like Snatch Game this past week and the Fairy Tale Court. Those three, she was not given it. And I'm kind of like, maybe I go for how they're performing rather than how they could potentially perform.
Okay, here's my other thought. If you just need to be in the top half, okay, you only need to beat four other queens.
Right.
Okay, so what if you decided like, okay, look, there's this other queen who's like for sure the top queen. Like maybe it's Jinx, if Jinx was available to be given a star. And you just be like, I'm just going to give you all my stars. Because you're definitely going to beat me anyway. So why would I help someone else when I could just, let me just give you every advantage because I'm definitely going to have to face off against you since you're clearly killing the competition. So let me just put everything in your basket. And then all I have to do is compete against, you know, six other queens.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're not trying to like necessarily compete with her because you know that she's going to beat you anyway.
That's such a great point that I never even just considered.
I mean, yeah, we'll come to a watershed moment of the season where it's becoming obvious, okay, well, these bitches ain't going to be there, so.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. So, like, right now we're sitting at, let me pull up the Wikipedia page, but we're sitting at essentially, everybody has one star except for Evie, but that could obviously change next week. But then the most is two other stars, which let me pull everything up. So I mean the differential really, yeah, and it's only Jinx that has two stars. And she can't get another one. So that means that we're gonna have, let's say Evie gets one, so she's got one star, and then one other star is given to, I don't know, whomever, Monet, Jada, whatever. Everyone has one star with only two queens. So really, if you think about it, everybody's at zero except for Jinx and one other person that has one star. That's like not a big difference.
Right.
I don't know. I'm like worried that it's going to end in a tie, that we're not going to have like a clear top four and like some weird twist is going to happen or some tiebreaker.
Well, I have to imagine this isn't the first time somebody's going to have to give stars.
We get like another lip sync extravaganza to have a lip sync extravaganza. Yeah.
I have to imagine this isn't the first time we're going to see queens having to give out stars, or maybe there will be stealing stars or something like that as we go on. I don't think it'll be every week because I feel like that gets a little too crazy, but I could feel like, all right, in 2 weeks from now or something, we're going to give out the top person, whoever wins the lip sync gets to give a star out. And then it's not even equal at that point. So at a certain point, they're going to have to do an odd number of stars given out a week.
To have people kind of start to pull away. And that makes sense. They would want to do it towards the end, right? You want to keep as many people in contention for as long in the season as you can. And then start to change it. Okay, let's talk about the lip sync before we get out of here. So, Better in Color by Lizzo. It was, in my opinion, underwhelming.
It was horrible. Okay. Like, another reason, you know what? And the
Evie would, did you, the number of cuts to Evie on the sideline more than Raja was like, okay.
Let me just say, if everybody does pretty much equally well in a challenge, at least give us a show for the top two.
It would have been amazing to see Evie up there and, like, I don't know, Jada. Like, I think that somebody who could really turn it out would have been a lot of fun. But I was like, I love this song. And I felt like
it kind of felt like Raja was throwing it. But you don't really have any incentive to throw because you already got the stars.
I saw her live before the pandemic. Was it in 2018 or 2019? I can't remember. But that's how she performs. She was not throwing it. I don't think.
We have to remember she graduated in high school from high school in 1992.
I know.
So it's not like she can just throw herself on the ground as much anymore. Okay.
But she can walk.
She can walk, and she can drink.
Because Jinx didn't throw herself on the ground either, but it was.
She can drink a nice glass of wine and smoke a fat blunt, and those are the things that she's best at. Mm-hmm. And lip syncing is not like what she does. Like, you don't go to see Raja for lip syncing. You go to see, like, what is she going to wear and what is she going to say? Like, that is what you care about. Jinx, I appreciate the effort. But that was like, can you be whiter lip syncing towards Lizzo? Like, literally, I was like, no, this is.
Another reason
it wasn't memorable at all.
Another reason why you might want Jinx in the end. If you lip sync.
Well, it depends on the songs, right?
Yeah, like, that's true. It's really songs.
It's like, okay, the finale is going to be all Beyonce songs. Okay, let's bring Jinx. Let's do this. You know.
All right. Well, Jinx is the winner, which I think is the right decision.
Yeah.
But, you know, and as we talked about, she blocks the Viv. Okay. Is there anything from Untucked that you guys want to touch on? We talked a little bit about it. We got to hear about their high school experiences. I thought one thing was interesting was talking about the effect of social media and not seeing failure, which is, I think, what made Evie's speech, like, even more poignant, which, you know, they kind of addressed. I thought that was good. But, yeah, it was actually felt like about the episode more so than the other episodes, which I appreciated.
Yeah. That was good.
I keep forgetting to watch Untucked. So.
I'm in. You're not missing anything. Yeah.
Okay. Next week. I'm so excited because we are getting our girl group Fantasy on in a TRL flashback style performance. Oh my God, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I like remember coming home watching TRL after school. So to me, this is very nostalgic, very fun. And I'm excited to see what the queens are going to bring. Plus Leland will be back. So I think that's going to be fun. And we did get a little bit of a teaser in terms of the groups. So we know that I think Raja, Monet, Shay, and Trinity are all in a group together, which means that, what is it? Evie, Jinx,
Jada and Vivian,
yeah, are going to be in their own girl group. So I think that's going to be a fun breakdown. And I'm really excited for next week.
It's going to be crazy. And I'm here for it.
I love a good girl group challenge, yo.
Yes. Okay. Well, that does it for us this week. Thank you all for checking it out. We're having a great time. I think all of us are really enjoying the season so far, and it's just, it's been a blast. One quick announcement. So I did see that there is going to be Canada versus the world. So in the same way that UK versus the world, it's a 6 week, I think it's going to be on Crave, which means I assume they're going to release it on WoW Presents Plus. I don't know the dates for that yet. I don't know if that was announced also. It just sort of like passed by me. But if you're a Drag Race fan, that's going to be coming and should hopefully be a fun time as well.
This is not confirmed. There are rumors that there will be an early outs season as well. So,
it'll
be interesting.
Oh my God.
So to go from all winners to like early outs, I think will be interesting.
Wait, as the next All-Star season?
I think that they're doing All-Stars 8 and then doing an early out season. I could be wrong. Outs could be the next All-Stars.
What would be so funny is if, okay, so you know how no one's going home, right? Because they're all winners. No one's going home.
Everyone
should be
goes
like
home.
Like three people per episode.
It's a one episode.
Early outs.
Early out. Still early out.
Early and you're out, bitch.
Imagine you have like Tempest Du Jour and James Mansfield and all these people. And you're like, everybody here, like, arguably your run was so early, and you know what, we are going to have everybody fight tooth and nail to be here for this one episode. You better
everybody
win
the workroom. Yeah. hello sashay
yeah. Okay, Oh, awesome. All right. This was so fun to be back with you guys. I missed you so much. Ah, yes! So we'll be here throughout the season covering it all. Beth, where can people find you on social media and what do you have going on?
You can find me at AugustaWind11. I'm still doing Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zayner, and our format is different and messy and lovely. And so come and check us out. Give us some topic suggestions or clips or shows that you want us to take a look at that we can cover each week.
And Aman, what about you? Where can people find you on social media? What do you have going on?
You can find me here.
Perfect. Same. You can find me on Twitter at LeonaRHAP. And if you would like to support us, you can leave your star ratings and reviews for the podcast on iTunes. It's super helpful. We just always appreciate it. And you can access that at robhuswebsite.com/dragrace. Also, it's sort of the beginning of the month, but it's a great time to plug our Patreon program for RHAP, yes, which supports not only the main channel, but also everything that we do on Wrap Ups. So if you're interested in that, you can go to patreon.com/RHAP or robhaswebsite.com/Patreon. We just had Patron Family Feud. We also did Patron Mafia. And we have game nights in our Discord, patron trivia with a survivor spin, and so much more. Our social calendar is always packed with a number of activities for all of the patrons. So you get what you pay for, as well as supporting all of us. So, yeah. So you love us. Anyway, robhaswebsite.com/patron to learn more about all of the patron perks and to sign up. So thank you, Scott St. Pierre, for all your help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.